Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News. Good morning, I'm Ed Donahue. Tonight, President Trump addresses Congress for the first time since retaking the White House. The AP Sagar Magani has the story.
The first time he spoke to a joint session in 2017.
I am here tonight to deliver a message of unity and strength.
Now there is no sign of unity, just a president using unimaginable power to simply do what he wants and daring the other two branches of government to stop him. But the president's about to test the limits of his executive power, since only Congress can deliver the tax cuts and other items he's promised. With Republicans in power across Washington, there is little Democrats can do other than fighting the president in court. Some have invited fired federal workers to the House chamber tonight as their guests. Sagar Magani, Washington.
The long-awaited tariffs against Canada and Mexico are now in place. Canada is responding. Melanie Joly is Canada's foreign minister.
We are ready with $155 billion worth of tariffs, and we're ready with the first tranche of tariffs, which is $30 billion.
Also, the 10% tariffs on Chinese imports last month have been doubled to 20%. President Trump is putting a hold on U.S. military aid to Ukraine. He wants Ukraine and Russia to work out a peace deal. Malcolm Chalmers is with the Royal United Services Institute in London.
Europeans are stepping up to the plate, but the American pressure, it appears, is going to increase. The next announcement people are fearing is the United States lifting some of the sanctions against Russia.
Smoke bombs and flares were thrown in the Serbian parliament. At least three lawmakers were injured, one seriously. The Census Bureau is asking permission to delete questions about gender identity from a monthly survey. This is AP News. Investigators will question a driver accused of ramming a car into a crowd in Germany.
The alleged ramming on Monday in Paradeplatz in Mannheim caused the deaths of two people while wounding 11. The motive remains under investigation. Cars have been used as deadly weapons in acts of violence in recent months in Germany. State Interior Minister Thomas Schrupp told German news agency DPA that the driver is a 40-year-old German man from the nearby state of Rhineland-Palatinate. Straub later said it did not appear that the driver had a political or religious motive. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
James Harrison has died in Australia. The retired railway clerk was credited with saving more than 2 million babies through his record-breaking blood plasma donations over six decades. Harrison's plasma contained a rare antibody. The Australian Red Cross called him the man with the golden arm. Harrison was 88. I'm Ed Donahue, AP News.
President Trump says tariffs on America's two biggest trading partners will kick in Tuesday.
25% on Canada and 25% on Mexico.
The president had put them off last month, but says there's no avoiding them now.
No room left.
He says the plan is to force the two American neighbors to boost their fight against fentanyl trafficking and illegal immigration. But it's already sparked fears of a North American trade war with signs of higher inflation and slower growth.
We're ready.
Canadian Foreign Minister Melanie Joly tells CTV her nation has prepared tariffs against U.S. goods.
Plan A, plan B.
And before the president's announcement, Mexico's Claudia Sheinbaum said she also has a plan ready. Companies from Ford to Walmart have warned of the negative impact tariffs may have on their businesses. President Trump is ripping his Ukrainian counterpart for suggesting the end of Russia's war against his nation is likely far off. Vladimir Zelensky says the end is still very, very far away. On social media, President Trump slammed that as the worst thing Zelensky could have said. And hours later at the White House.
He better not be right about that.
Oh, I think he's quite right.
The Brookings Institution's Angela Stent, a former U.S. intelligence officer for Russia who has written a book about Vladimir Putin, says the Russian leader has no interest in negotiating a deal to stop the fighting right now, and first wants to watch U.S.-European relations implode.
And it will be much easier then for Russia to win this war on its own terms.
But the president's focused on Zelensky, saying if someone doesn't want to make a deal,
that person won't be around very long. That person will not be listened to very long.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
The Senate has voted to confirm former wrestling executive Linda McMahon as the nation's education chief, a role that places her atop a department that President Donald Trump has vilified and vowed to dismantle. McMahon will face the competing task of winding down the education department while also escalating efforts to achieve Trump's agenda. Already, the Republican president has signed sweeping orders to rid America's schools of diversity programs and accommodations for transgender students, while also calling for expanded school choice programs. At the same time, Trump has promised to shut down the department and says he wants McMahon to put herself out of a job. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
The Supreme Court won't hear a challenge to college programs for reporting bias allegations. Some conservative students at Indiana University say the school's bias response team stifles speech on campus by allowing anonymous reports about things that appear prejudice or demeaning. Two of the nine justices, Samuel Alito and Clarence Thomas, publicly said they would have heard the case. The unnamed students are represented by a group called Speech First, which says 400 universities have similar programs. The group has filed multiple similar lawsuits and has reached settlements ending programs in Michigan, Texas, and Florida. Indiana University says the bias response program is aimed at education and support, and the two-person team doesn't dole out punishment. Justice Thomas, in his dissent, identified indications the program could chill students' free speech. Ed Donahue, Washington.
The Treasury Department is ending the enforcement of a Biden-era business ownership information database. It was meant to curb money laundering and stop the formation of anonymous shell companies. The rule required most American businesses with fewer than 20 employees to register their owners with the government. Small businesses challenging the requirement had been unable to win in court, but on Sunday, the Treasury announced it will not impose penalties now or in the future. The move was lauded by President Trump, who called the reporting requirement outrageous and invasive. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent called the changes a victory for common sense, saying it was part of the Trump agenda to rein in burdensome regulations. Former Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has said the regulation would have helped law enforcement officials track down money launderers and criminals. Jennifer King, Washington.
Elon Musk appears to be turning off potential Tesla buyers with his embrace of far-right politicians around the world, according to analysts. Over the weekend, there were protests at Tesla showrooms. Tesla was already losing market share to European and Chinese automakers as they catch up in quality to Tesla's electric vehicles. Now Musk has to contend with a fierce political backlash, too. He's been hung in effigy in Italy, mocked in Britain for selling swastika cars, and faced calls for a boycott in Poland. Tesla sales plunged 45% in Europe in January. Its stock is falling, too. Since Inauguration Day, Tesla investors have lost $550 billion. I'm Julie Walker.
Kroger Chairman and CEO Rodney McMullen is stepping down after an internal investigation into his personal conduct. The company said that the investigation into McMullen's personal conduct was unrelated to the business, but was found to be inconsistent with Kroger's business ethics policy. Board member Ronald Sargent will serve as chairman and interim CEO, effective immediately. McMullen, who is 64, began his career with Kroger in 1978 as a part-time bagger and stock clerk. He served as Kroger's CEO since 2014. I'm Haya Pinchwani.
The man accused of opening fire at an Independence Day parade in suburban Chicago in 2022 has pleaded guilty to murder and attempted murder moments ahead of opening arguments for his Monday trial. 23-year-old Robert Cremo did not address the court. The shooting left 7 people dead and wounded more than 40. Last June, Cremo was expected to accept a plea deal, but surprised the court by rejecting it. Sentencing on his guilty plea will come April 23rd. Cremo is certain to spend the rest of his life behind bars. Embattled New York City Mayor Eric Adams, now facing a major challenge for his job by fellow Democrat and former Governor Andrew Cuomo. Adams was asked about Cuomo's statement that the city needs saving.
Yes, I do believe we need to be saved from him.
Adams was also asked about the sex assault allegations by 11 women against Cuomo, which he denies, or the COVID nursing home deaths under Cuomo disqualify him. Adams says that's for voters to decide.
Should that be an automatic disqualification? No, I think it needs to be answered on the trail exactly what happened.
Adams is still trying to get his own federal corruption charges dropped after the DOJ made the request so the mayor could assist with President Trump's immigration crackdown. The Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race begins in Fairbanks, Alaska, Monday. It usually starts in Anchorage, where festivities kicked off over the weekend. But lack of snow forced the venue change. That means teams of 12 to 14 dogs will have to pull their mushers over 1,100 miles to the finish line in Nome. They should arrive in about 10 days. Musher Gabe Dunham says things look good for her team.
Last year I finished in 18th. With a pretty young team. I had a bunch of two-year-olds in the team, and they came into Nome barking and wagging their tails. So we're going to try to repeat it on a little bit more of a schedule this year.
Only 33 mushers start this year's race, tied with 2023 for the smallest field ever. I'm Julie Walker.
I'm Damian Troisi, and this is the AP Markets Report. Stocks slumped on Wall Street Monday ahead of tariffs against key U.S. trading partners. The S&P 500 fell 1.8%, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 1.5%, the NASDAQ Composite plunged 2.6%. The latest stumble for stocks follows several rocky weeks. The sell-off hit Wall Street late in the day. President Donald Trump said there was no room left for negotiations on tariffs against Canadian and Mexican imports. That dashed Wall Street's hopes that Trump would choose a less painful path for global trade. Treasury yields sank after a weaker-than-expected report on manufacturing. Damian Troisi, New York.
Sunday night was Hulu's first time airing the Oscars live, but its Academy Awards debut ended on a chaotic note, with viewers missing the final moments of the show. Hulu's live stream cut off with two major award categories, Best Actress and Best Picture, still to be announced. Hulu viewers instead saw an air code message saying the event was over. Viewers were outraged online. The Hulu stream also had a rough start, with a few users reporting issues logging on due to another technical problem. Disney, which has run Hulu since 2019, has apologized to viewers. It says a full replay of the event is now available on Hulu and Hulu on Disney+. I'm Mike Hempen.
Her publicist says Dolly Parton's husband, Carl Dean, has died. He was 82. Dolly Parton says she first saw her husband the day she moved to Nashville when she was 18.
We met at the Wishy-Washy Laundromat in 1964, and I often joke that it's been wishy-washy ever since.
Parton told the AP in 1994, Carl Dean is a great buddy.
He just accepts me for, you know, the way that I am. He just thinks, oh, hell, that's show business.
Dolly Parton says her husband inspired one of her classic songs.
Jolene.
She wrote Jolene about a flirty bank teller who seemed to take an interest in Dean, who was also a writer.
He doesn't claim to be a writer, but his songs, his poems to me are very heartfelt and very deep and very sweet.
Carl Dean was a businessman. He owned an asphalt paving business in Nashville. He and Parton kept strict privacy around their relationship for decades. I'm Ed Donahue.
AP Sports, I'm Gethin Coolbaugh. The Thunder became the NBA's second 50-win team with a 137-128 win over the Rockets. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander led the way with 51 points for Oklahoma City coach Mark Daigneault's team.
I just think he's got an unbelievable pace to him right now. You know, he's where he's finding his stuff. He's attacking and really hitting the gas on some plays.
Mavericks guard Kyrie Irving left Monday's game against the Kings in the first quarter with a left knee sprain. College basketball, Cooper Flagg had 28 points to help number 2 Duke claim at least a share of the ACC regular season crown with a 93-60 win over Wake Forest. Auburn sits atop the AP Top 25 men's poll for the 8th straight week, while USC rose to number 2 in the women's poll behind top-ranked Texas. The Bengals have placed the franchise tag on T. Higgins for a second time as the team hopes to work out a long-term deal with the star wide receiver. If the Bengals can't reach a contract with the 26-year-old Higgins before before July 15th, his salary for the 2025 season would be $26.2 million. Bengals Director of Player Personnel Duke Tobin reiterated last week at the NFL Scouting Combine that one of his top priorities is to get a deal done with Higgins. Higgins is the second player to receive a franchise tag, joining Chiefs guard Trey Smith. Jimmy Johnson has announced his retirement from Fox Sports after being part of its NFL coverage for 31 years. The 81-year-old Johnson made the announcement during an appearance on The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Johnson said he would miss the people he's worked with and called it a great 31-year run. Johnson worked alongside Kurt Menefee and Terry Bradshaw and analyst Howie Long and Michael Strahan. As coach, he won consecutive Super Bowls with the Cowboys and the College Football National Championship with Miami in 1987. The Atlantic Coast Conference, Clemson, and Florida State have reached a proposed settlement that would end their legal fight and change the league's revenue distribution model. The proposed agreement requires approval from the league and schools. If approved, the settlement would incorporate viewership ratings into revenue distribution among member schools, which would increase payouts to schools generating the most TV interest. The upside could be $15 million or more for top earners schools. It could also result in a decline of about $7 million for others. I'm Gethin Kulba.
Francis, who's 88, woke up and was resuming respiratory physiotherapy after sleeping through the night, the Vatican says, adding, as of Tuesday morning, he'll no longer need to wear the mechanical ventilation mask that covers his nose and mouth to pump oxygen into his lungs. On Monday, the Pope had two new acute respiratory crises that had required him to resume using the mask to breathe. Doctors said they extracted copious amounts of mucus from his lungs. Poland's democracy hero Lech Walesa and 38 other former political prisoners in Poland have told President Donald Trump that his treatment of Ukraine's president at the Oval Office last week filled them with horror and distaste. In a letter posted on Facebook, they tell Trump that they found it offensive that he expected Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to show respect and gratitude for the material assistance which the US has given Ukraine as it defends itself against Russia's invasion. They write that gratitude is due to the heroic Ukrainian soldiers who've shed blood in defense of the values of the free world. Walesa posted the letter on Facebook along with a photograph of himself with Trump. Ceasefire mediators Egypt and Qatar have accused Israel of violating humanitarian law by using starvation as a weapon. The ceasefire's first phase has seen a surge in humanitarian aid after months of growing hunger, but Hamas accuses Israel of trying to derail the next phase hours after its first phase ended, calling Israel's decision to cut off aid a war crime and a blatant attack on a truce that took a year of negotiations to come about. In the second phase, Hamas is supposed to release dozens of remaining hostages in return for an Israeli pullout from Gaza and a lasting ceasefire. Negotiations on the second phase were meant to start a month ago, but haven't yet begun. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service, real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.